Let us go into the world this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy. Are we there? Look at verse 15. It says, 3:15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy what? Scriptures, which are what? Able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, we said over time, scriptures are given by inspiration of God, verse 16, and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for what? Instruction. Is that for correction? Is that correct? Then instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In our good works. It now says, in chapter 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing of the kingdom. Verse 2, it says, preach the word. Be instant in what? In season. Be instant what? In season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with what? All long suffering and doctrine. So Paul says, be instant in season and what? Out of season. Be instant in season and out of season. What does that really mean? We said that over time. To be instant in season and out of season just really means that you are saying the truth of God's word when people feel like hearing it or they don't feel like hearing it. So it means the feelings that the people have does not determine if I will teach the word as a preacher, or if you will preach the word as a minister or not. Do you know there are some times that you clearly know some people don't want to hear certain things? It's just like, for instance, if they are praying, if we have a prayer culture in our church, for instance, that is not really fervent, right? Not everybody wants to really hear that you need to give yourself to prayer. Right? Paul is teaching that, you see, in season, out of season, you ensure that you give yourself to saying what counts, what matters. Right, he says, for a time will come when they will what? They will not endure sound doctrine. So sound doctrine ought to be what? Endured. Say sound doctrine ought to be endured. What's the opposite of endurance? Enjoy. Enjoyance. Can we say enjoyance? Right? So sound doctrine ought to be endured. Can you listen to sound doctrine and enjoy what you're listening to? Oh, fair, yes. But if everything about your Christian faith, you are enjoying sound doctrine, there's something that is missing. Because sound doctrine, as it were, ensures that what? You put on a skin of endurance. Right? You put on a skin of endurance. So he says the time will come, they will no longer endure sound doctrine. But after their own loss, they shall what? Keep. Are you in your Bibles? They shall heap to themselves what? Teachers. Having what? Itching ears. They will heap to themselves having itching ears. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go back to the book before. Verse 10. 1 Timothy 1:10. For warmongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, liars, perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed in my trust. He says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but the law is good, in verse 8. Right? So it was talking about a few things about, warning against false preachers from verse 3 all the way to verse 10. So in our world today, it's very easy. So when it says in verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4 rather, when it says heaping to themselves teachers, the kind of teachers there are false teachers. Altogether, false teachers. Right? False teachers. So Paul is addressing Timothy, his spiritual son, and he's saying, don't be bothered when people heap to themselves false teachers. I hope you know that a lot of times, the reason why people listen to certain people is because the kind of things people are saying resonates with them. Do you understand that? A lot of times, even you, a lot of times, if you're on social media and checking online, if for someone to connect with you, more often than not, is because what the person is saying, do you understand, is something linked to something you believe, you know, or you say or say, or somebody says something you already believe in a way that you thought it cannot be said better. Do you understand? And if you have that approach to the things of God, a lot of times you will not grow as much, because you know why? We are all growing. So if the only kind of people I attract to myself are people who say exactly what I think is correct, so it means I'm always correct. Because if I listen to somebody who says something opposite from what I'm thinking, it means by default that person cannot be correct. So what do? I flip up. I switch it. Right? That's an illustration of what Paul is teaching there. He said, the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. I've not realized that if you, even on our social media team, I've realized, on our one post online, I've realized the consistency of interactions people have with our posts, right? When it is full of stories. A lot of our preachers right now, a lot of our excerpts right now are full of what? Stories. It's one thing if you are saying different things and you are trying to allude to a scripture or a text verse. Do you understand? But it's a different thing if everything is stories, stories, stories. That's the itchiness in people that gets people attracted to that. Because ideally, life is already tough. Don't come and finish us with didache. What is if you do post, what you see, if I wear the same clothes and I do two accepts, and one is saying, dichotomy, dekomai. Right, the Greek word is exousia, the Greek word is all the kind of things. Can I say another one? That was that one day I was just going around and someone just tried to come and use knife and stab me. I just said, whoa, and the wind of the Holy Ghost just created a wall before them. That video, we have what, more interactions and life. If somebody even come and say power. so that's just all of our videos that started ending now. You say power, comment power in the session, say power. Power, power, power. And that's the word. So I'm trying to say to you that a lot of that, see, let me say it, we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it, that's the truth. Yeah, even some of the exams we post in this church, self, the one pastor says, they're coma, we've heard this one, and that thing. But the one at the capture and they say, that's how, you would say, that's you share. You share. And that's the world we live in. And honestly, let me tell you something. The earlier we realize that there's a world we have now started living in, and we cannot do so much about it, the better for us. What I'm saying to you, in the midst of the world, there's a slant you should have as a believer. You need to ensure that you are deliberate, not to be somebody who heaps to themselves, right? Or you only attracted because you have itchy ears. Itchy ears. Altogether. So sound doctrine as a concept is something that ought to be endured. Right? So what did Paul say will happen to them in verse 4? They shall turn away their what? In verse 4. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be what? Turned on to what? Fables. Now let's read verse 5 together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, 1, 2, 3, go. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions to do the work of what? An evangelist, and what? Make full proof of thy ministry. Look at what Paul says in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have what? Fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I hope you know when Paul says I fought a good fight, he really means it. Altogether, he really means it. Right? Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of what? Righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the what? The day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So, Paul is saying that there is a lifestyle he has lived, there's a fight he has fought, there's an endurance he has had that will make it easy for him to make a statement like this and says, I am not ready to be offered, I have fought a good fight of faith. Now, right in the middle of what he has fought, he has endured everything, is one of the things that we're looking at in this month called conduct. Now we're together. Conduct. Are there records of bad conduct in the scriptures? Yeah? Are there records of good conduct in the scriptures? Do we have records of Paul's conduct in the scripture? Do we have record of Paul's good conduct in the scriptures? Do we have record of Paul's bad conduct in the scriptures? Okay, an example. Persecution, his life before he became a Christian, right? So we can call that Paul's conduct, but we'll not call it Paul's believer's conduct. Because that was a life before he became a believer. Now, were there things that changed when Paul became a believer? How many of you know this song when we used to sing when we were growing up? The things I used to do, I do them no more. The what?
The things I used to do.
The lies I used to tell, I tell them no more. The meat I used to steal, I steal them no more. There's an any part of that. There's a great change since I'm born again. Beautiful song. You know, a lot of us in our generation like the God of righteousness, the God of holiness, and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? But they don't want to stop the things they used to do. The worst are even the ones that who did not used to do certain things like that until they became Christians. You know, there are people like that. Yeah? I was looking at a friend's post, you know, recently, you know. I think there was one. I think I was explaining this in Nigerian church a few days ago, and I was talking about how some people will post, "Is it already too late? I can never turn back. Oh, is it already too late? Oh, it will make sense. Oh, and I say it's not late; it's early. You can't say because when you are behaving like this, you cannot say it's already too late. You are still the early morning." You know, and I saw this person, and this person was actually a minister of the gospel, fine tune, fine voice and everything. You know, and I just saw the consistency of our lifestyle is opposite. There is such a thing called dropping a lifestyle you had. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God will never force you to drop a lifestyle. Are we here? The Spirit of God doesn't force you to drop a lifestyle. You only submit yourself to the influence of the Spirit so that the lifestyle can drop. The Spirit of God doesn't force you. You know, if I want to steal now, if I want to steal something from this bag, the Spirit of God will not cut my hand. How many of you remember when we were growing up, we say that when you are entering a club, what happens? The Spirit of God waits for you at the door. Then what happens when you now finish clubbing and dancing and drinking everything? The Spirit of God will now start following you home. When you now pray and ask for mercy, God will cleanse you. The Spirit of God will now come in. No, that's not how it works. The Spirit of God always remains with the believer in and every season. But a believer has to subject his willpower to the influence of the Spirit for there to be a change. That's why you see a lot of believers, they call themselves believers, but their lifestyles are far from believers. You know, we all know people like that. Or you don't believe. If you don't know anybody like that, you just might be like that. Maybe you are the person that you need to know that is like that. Right? You see some people, I'm like, sometimes you just say in your mind, you say, I wish you didn't associate with Christianity. I mean, that's not the point is not to judge and to get yourself judged, because even yourself, too, you know what you are working on. But do you understand how? See, it's one thing for you to be as a Christian. There are things you are struggling with behind the scene. All struggle is struggle. Hope you get it. Struggle in front or struggle behind is all struggle. But do you understand that there's a difference between struggle behind the scene that affects no other person and struggle in front of everybody that affects everybody? How do you feel if last night, all of you have my WhatsApp number, if last night, just imagine last night, 10 p.m., 10:30, you just saw me, right? Wearing one kind of clothes like that, and wearing one singlet like that, and I just everywhere was blue light and pink lights. I just saw people around me. I just saw me holding one red cup. Red cup. You know that red cup with white inside? Oh, you don't know that cup? Okay, don't know it. Yeah. You only drink glass cup. Well, that's fine. You only take water and shots. It's the latex shots, quick shots. How do you know what is shots? Like, you know you don't take it. So you know what shots are. Nice one. But if you saw me last night, and I just say me, and I take video. Money. I say, bring the azul. Is it azul they call it? Azul, yeah? Yeah. I like people that are transparent like that. Than those that say they don't know it, but they have it in their house. Yeah? So, if I just see the video, one more bottle. And you see the way I'm walking. One more bottle. Now, if I came here, will you take me seriously? If I, will you come today? You won't come today. Rambozzi said they will come just to confirm and to see that. Is it the same face I saw last night? Because you can tell, you will be able to tell from my preaching. It will be slow. And Jacob went to Esau's house. And Jacob was in Jesus' house. You know, he started talking different testaments, cross-testamental conversation. But the question is, why do we think it's only excluded for pastors and not for believers? I hope you know a pastor is first a believer. And I always tell you that a pastor is an example of who you should become. A good pastor is an example, let me say it differently. A good pastor should be an example of who the believer should become or can become. You know, there's some things that if two people do it, one a pastor, one a believer or something like that, the way it will trend will be different. You know, we ought to start having things like, and you call yourself a believer. Not just, and you call yourself a pastor. Now you call yourself a believer. Yeah, we looked at that on Wednesday. We looked at a topic called our assurance and our conduct. Every time we teach about this, the state of the believer, it must always come with a reaffirming of the fact that we are born again, sanctified, holy, righteous forever. It's your state supernaturally, spiritually. When it comes to conduct, we are all a work in progress. So Paul will say, scriptures are given to us for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. We ought not to live our lives only putting high expectations on our pastors, on our leaders alone. Why do you think the pressure is much on pastors? It's ideal because your pastor should be a model. Your pastor should be an example. All together. If you saw me, you know, there's even a way. I remember I saw a sister of mine was, you know, let me skip this, right? Because person might see it, right? So someone was complaining, this is another story. Someone was complaining about the way their husband stood with somebody taking a picture. And the truth is that husband stands with people that way, taking pictures that way. But there was a lot of concern because it was this particular lady. Not together, right? And this lady is supposed to be a believer. Think about it. How can I take a picture of Sister Vin? I want to take a picture of Sister JT. Everybody seems to be okay. But I look at Sister Timidiri, and the same way I took a picture with both of them, eyes are on me. Amen? Eyes are on me. It means for a believer that she is, there's a lot that people already know about her. You know, there are some people you cannot leave your husbands with. Not her. The example of her. Not her. Yeah. Just that there's some people you cannot leave your spouses with. And they are believers. Sarah is affirming. There are some people you cannot even leave. You understand? There are some pastors you cannot leave your partners with. There's some pastors you cannot leave your children with. It means there's a lot about your conduct that you've not allowed the influence of the Spirit to take over. It's easy to come here and shout, oh, I'm born again, I'm righteous, I'm holy. You know, like I always tell you, when you see some kind of people, the way they behave, right? And you say, our sins are forgiven, past, present, future, right? Even if, if somebody tell you, even if I'm killing somebody and the trumpet should sound, I'll still go to heaven because I'm born again. That kind of person, don't stay close to them in a room. Don't leave your children with them. It's part of conduct. You know why? Because they will do all manners of things and they will say they are righteous. But who will go through the pain that thing will do to that they will inflict? Is you. So look, we looked at Odidon Wednesday, the Galatians chapter 1. It says, there be some who preach a gospel that trouble you. Now, I explained that clearly. Remember, I gave an example. How many of you remember Wednesday? I gave an example of two houses. Is that correct? House what? A and house B. And we said that if a parent comes to house A and the guy who is in house A did not steal, and the parent comes to house B and the guy who's in house B stole, the same words the both parents said in both houses did not change. But the recipient of what was said, the people that received what was said, had different actions to it. I was trying to explain to you on Sunday that that's not what it means by the gospel that troubles. Right? The gospel that troubles means that if the parent comes to the house and say, even this is the house of the person who did not steal, and say, I want to ask you a question. If I ask you this question and you lie to me, Holy Ghost fire will consume you and you will never make heaven. You come to this place and come and say the same thing. Holy Ghost fire will consume you and you will not make heaven. You've put fear in the heart of one who didn't steal. Altogether. So if he is guilty, it is your message. Are you with me? It is your message that put fear in him. But in this one, either you say hellfire or not, the moment you talk about stealing, they already what? Guilty. So what's wrong with this one? Guilt. Guilty conscience. Right? So when Paul says that a message that troubles, some teach. We said the word that trouble is tarazo. Remember that word? Right? It means it creates a sense of what? Anxiety. Right? But that fact, you know, it just talks about verse chapter 1, verse 4, talks about how Jesus has given himself for us and we have received, we've believed. Right? But when it comes to a message that does not affirm your eternal state as a believer, those are the messages that comes with trouble, as it were. So now, the Christian faith also involves that we give ourselves to preaching the message of the gospel, and sometimes some words that are said will make you shiver. Not because the words that were said were to make you shiver, but because there's a part of you that is guilty. Now, we're together. There's a part of you that, another word you can talk about, is a part of you that resonates with that. It's you that it corrects. It's you that it speaks to. Altogether. So Paul, we always talk about, you know, we looked at those words. But one of the things that Paul talk about consistently in his ministry is the fact that the believer has an assurance of where he is. Is that correct? Yes, sir. And where's the believer in Christ? Is that correct? Is there a time the believer will no longer be in Christ? No. So it means no matter the correction you bring to a person, you cannot tamper with the fact of where they are. Altogether. Right? The moment you tamper with the facts of where they are, you've brought a message that troubles. That's what Paul is teaching in Galatians chapter 3. So anyway, that's why he refers to them. He says, oh foolish what? Galatians. He now goes to verse 3. He says, are you so foolish? He's trying to say that. He made it clear. He said, did you start out? Was it by faith in the work of Jesus? Or was it by your works? So it means there was a message that was troubling, saying that because of your works, you don't have a relationship with God. So if I come and I preach and I say, because of your works with God, God has abandoned you. That's a message that troubles. But if I come and I say, you have very terrible works, right? And I say your works, for instance, is stealing, right? And I don't say anything more than that. You can feel guilty when I say your works that is bad is stealing. Because why? You steal. Right? So what Paul is addressing, like I said, is clearly the fact that people are having to teach a message from the roots. And it creates fear and anxiety in people. We'll look at James chapter 2 on Wednesday, when it talks about faith without works is dead. You know, we've said that over time, right? And a lot of us believe that faith without work really means that I have faith that I'll pass my exam. If I don't read my books, what will happen? I'll fail. But that's not what Paul is teaching. Look at that on Sunday. Talk about our love work. And look, talk about our relationship with people. But today, just before we close today, right? Let me just show you a few things, right? Look through let's look at 1 Corinthians 6 today. Are you 1 Corinthians 6? Let's read verse 12 together. 1, 2, 3, go. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not what? expedient. All things are what? Lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What was Paul addressing? Right? Look at verse. Let's read from verse 1 quickly. Dare any of you having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? You see these dynamics in 1 Corinthians 6. Some people have started using it to oppress other people. Say, you know, some people will behave very ridiculously. You take them to court and they say, you call yourself a believer. You call yourself a believer. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Are you saying there is no saint in the church that can address us? They are trying to run away from the law. Are we together? Right? So do you not know that the saints shall be judged of the world, and if the world shall be judged by you and are unworthy of the judge, the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? Look at verse 5. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there be not wise man among you? Not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brothers go to law with brothers, and that brothers the unbelievers. Now look at verse 7. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and dreadful, and that your brethren. Look at verse 9, 1 to 3, go. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminates, nor abusers of them with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, verse 10, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall what? Inherit. Look at this, verse 11, 1 to 3, go. And such were, you see, Paul is addressing people not inheriting the kingdom, and yet he now says, such were some. Such were. That means that is who you were. It does not mean that the people he's talking to are not still dealing with those things, but their status changed. And he addressed them in the past regarding that. So he says, verse 11, such were what? Some of you. But ye are what? Washed. So he's talking to fornicators and he says, ye are what? Washed. You see? That's what Paul is addressing when he means that the gospel must not be tweeted and be what? Be a message that brings trouble. Because the moment I say you are an adulterer, you are a fornicator, you are a reviler, you are whatever it is, and I don't affirm your reality in Christ, I'm bringing the kind of message that Paul is teaching against that troubles. So are we to address fornicators? Are we to address those who lie? Are we to address thieves? But from what lens as a believer? From the lens of who they are. So they are washed. So a believer who steals, so this is the extreme people go to. People steal and they say, I'm not a thief because I'm a believer. No. Let's say it clearly. You are a believer that steals. Yeah, hopefully it makes you happier. Do you understand? Say, what you see, when a Christian tells lie, it's not a lie. Anytime a Christian tells lie, it's not a lie, it's the truth, because every word that proceeds out of my mouth. Okay, if that makes you happy, okay, that's fine. Yes, you are not a liar, but you are a believer that just lied. Because somebody else will go and carry somebody's wife now and go and sleep with somebody's wife and say, I'm not a fornicator. I told you of a friend of mine who some pastors called him to order to come and caution him. And he clearly did something that was very terrible. And right in front of him, he says, no, that's not me. We know that's not you. But can you just admit you did something terrible? So a good way to approach this kind of position is, you are washed, my brother. You are sanctified, my brother. In fact, you are righteous and you are holy, my brother. But you slept with somebody's wife, my brother. Yeah? You know what some people believe? The moment we add you slept with somebody's wife, they say you are judgmental. They say you are condemning them. No. We started with what? You are a believer. We said you are righteous. We said you are washed. We said you are sanctified. But my brother, you sleep, but you did not sleep. Which one is? God sees me. I see myself just as he sees me. Let us see you. Let's see you the way God sees you. But we are also seeing you the way the Lord God sees you. Are we together? Because human being has two eyes. One spiritual, one physical. So we use one to see you as in Christ. We say another one to see you are not a thief, brother. That's why Paul addresses Ephesians chapter 4. He said, let him that stole. He didn't say let the thief in the church steal no more. Let he that stole steal no more. Let him work, labor with his hands so he can have to give. So Paul addresses them. He says, neither fornicator, that he says, nor shall inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to teach that probably next week. Right? He now says, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, you are what? Sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let's read verse 12, 1, 2, 3, go. All things are lawful unto me, But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought. What is Paul teaching? It is not everything that is right that I can do. Did you hear what I just said? It's not everything that is right that the believer can do. If you are a believer and your Christian journey after serving Jesus for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, your biggest question in your mind is it wrong? Is it right? You know those kind of questions, with this kind of series, we have those kind of questions. Pastor, is it wrong to smoke? Pastor, is it wrong to drink alcohol? If that is your major question you are asking in your Christian faith, it means you are not growing. Paul is saying, not everything. So all things are lawful. Yeah? All things are expedient, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought. Look at what Paul teaches there. It says, I will not be brought under the power. I will not be brought under the what? Under the power. He says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 again. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Look at your Bibles. Look at your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. Let's read together again. 1, 2, 3, go. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So what should be the reason why you do things? Does it edify? Galatians chapter 5. Does it edify? So what, this thing I'm about to do, who does it bless? Who does it make better? Am I building up the faith of someone or destroying their faith? Galatians. So the greatest litmus test to know what you should do as a believer is the litmus test of love. Look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians 5. We'll just take a little time today. It says verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith what? Christ has what? Made Galatians 5, 1. And be not what? Entangled again with the yoke. Now look at verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what? Love. By love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? He says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little what? Leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whatsoever. Now he says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called. Let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve. Is that the same thing Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians 6? Right? All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So what should be the lens by which you do an action? Love. So if I love you, I won't steal from you. Is that correct? If I love you, I won't lie to you. Is that correct? So what's the reason? So the question you want to ask yourself is, for anything you do, why am I doing it? Unfortunately, we live in a generation right now in a world where believers want to prove a point, and because of the point they want to prove, they start to do certain things. Are you with me? Yeah? You know, there are some things you don't have to prove. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus were to be in our world and he wanted to get to touts and get to people who were, what do they call people who live in slum? Yeah? What's the name? What do you call them? Slums, right? Is that what it is? Okay? Yeah? So, if Jesus wanted to reach the slums, do you think Jesus in our world will begin to dress like a slum? Are you with me? Are you following me? Imagine a pastor wakes up and says, I want to reach out to those that have dreadlock. Because I want to reach out to those that have dreadlock, I now start growing my dreadlock. Yeah? If I draw the map of Jesus on my head in tattoo, will you take me seriously again? Even when I want to lay eyes on yourself, Pastor, let me put back, touch my shoulder, sir. You are getting the point. You don't. So when it says behave like a when you're a Roman, behave like a Roman, people just take to, you know, you can use the Bible to defend anything. So if Jesus, somebody did that to the right time, he said he wants to, he has people that God sent him to. We understand nobody's fighting the call of God upon your life. But to what? So if Jesus were to live in our generation, you think Jesus would put a tattoo on his body because he wants to get people that are doing tattoo? You know, that question we used to ask when we were growing up, what would Jesus do? It will save you a lot. In fact, you see that Galatians 5:13. Another way you can look at it is, what would Jesus do? Another way you can say it is, what will love do? Jason, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, people have different slabs, different schools, but you know, there's some things you do, and there's no need to make noise about it. Are you with me? It's not necessary. God has sent me to those that have dreadlock. What do I now do? See this kind of head now. Where will it start growing from? So imagine my head is that I should shape it every day. Where will I now start putting? Imagine I now start putting gum on my head, to have my hair like Sister Temi Jiri's hair. And I come to church and I say, because people that don't look like me, am I not see sense to them as well? Do you actually know that we have more people who will reject you because of how you look than people who will accept you because of how you look? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We have more people that will reject you. We have more people who have, you know, there are people that, some of us, well, I remember it was one of the pressing issues we had in the Nigerian church some 4, 5, 6 years ago. You know, we started, when we go for evangelism, we'll come back. And one of the reasons our sisters will be telling us that people said they were not going to listen to them because they were wearing trousers. Why Abuja, not Taraba? 6 years ago. You said, no, we're not going to listen to you because you're wearing trousers. So I'm saying there are some things, there are some conducts that if you do it, you are going to get more people who will choose not to even listen to you than the in quote people. Because when you dress like a tout because you want to get a tout, a tout knows a tout when they say a tout. You get the point? A tout, you will know that you're not one of us. There's some slang you will do. You know, for instance, if you're driving in Nigeria, for instance, you have soldier point and everything. Once you just wind that car, you say, spray the car. You know what spray the car? Is that how they call it? Spray the car. Yeah? One guy wanted to try spray the car. What does he say, spray the car? Soldiers running and they beat him. They say, where's your ID card? The soldiers that can say, spray the car. They brought him out and flogged him. They say, your life, never is spread the core again. You know? So they will, know. You know, there's a way, I will look, if I go to a soldier and I say spread the core, they will most likely doubt I'm a soldier. Do you understand? First of all, soldiers don't used to be big like me. Second of all, soldiers don't even used to have beards. Very few soldiers are, very few is a law you must take out yourself. So imagine I just do one and say spread the core. And really, you better just spread the call, be really spread the call, because they will use spirit and deal with you. Yes, so ideally, there's a way you will try to look because you want to get the kind of people and you will lose more people. There's no point. So, is there anything wrong in drawing tattoo on my head? Nothing is wrong. Altogether. I agree with you. We cannot teach it from the Bible. That is wrong. Paul says, all things are lawful. But not things like experience. The moment you are doing things because you want to prove a point, you've been brought under the power. 1 Corinthians 6. It says, I will not put myself under the power, the influence of this thing. So if you are doing things just because you want to prove a point, you are doing things because you want to say, well, it's not taught in the scriptures that it is wrong, it is right. Yeah? The people I know who defended marrying several wives from the same Bible. Together. So Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 5, he says, for brethren, he have been called unto liberty. What is liberty? Freedom. What is liberty? Freedom. Let me ask you a question. If I put you in this room and I say you have liberty in this room, and I put you in a field, you know, a football field, you know how big a football field is, right? You know, a football field is big. You know, very few people can run around a football field once. Do you know? Very few people can run around the field, including me. Run around, I don't mean walk, run around the football field once. I don't even think it's a boat. Because a boat does 100 meters now, so I don't even think it does all those 1 by 400. If you put you on a football field and I say you are free, and I put you in this room and I say you are free, which one will you feel freer? Football field. But you know, the Christian freedom is the one that is in the classroom, but we think is the one that is on the field. Because it says, look at it again, Galatians 5:13. It says what? For brethren, ye have been called unto, can we say liberty, freedom? Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So look at me as this, look at this example, dear saints. So if this is the liberty that God gives us, is the liberty that God gives us a confined liberty? It means there's an extent. So if I wanted to run towards this direction, when I hit myself on that wall, what's that? That's what? Obstacle, right? That's a barrier. That's a limitation. What is the name of that limitation in the world? Yeah? Love. When I turn like this and I run again, and I hit my head on this wall, what is that barrier? Love. So it means that I am free only within the confines of love, what love tolerates. I am free only within the jurisdiction of what love tolerates. If I had to do the same thing on the field and I took 20 steps, I probably would not have gone to the end of the field. So Christian faith actually comes with freedom, but the freedom is actually a prison form. So you will not find me outside. The moment you find me outside this room, I have come out of love. I'm in love, is that correct? But I've come outside the jurisdiction that love has put as a barrier. The moment I step out of this room to this direction, I've bypassed the concept of love. So the true liberty that we have is not freedom to do anything. It's freedom that comes with a regulation. So is it really, really freedom? Is it really, really freedom? Is an illusion of freedom. Because it means there are more things you will not do than things you will do. Are you with me? There are more things that you will not do. So an average person who is not a Christian is not even on the football field. It's in an open space where there is no field, where it's just open. So it can do everything. So I'm explaining three different scenarios. There is one of this classroom. There is one of the football field. And there's one of no barrier, everything, everywhere goes. A lot of believers think that the freedom they have is actually that of the football field. And a lot of believers think that the freedom they have is the one that does not even exist on the football field. It's just random. So what will you find out? You see more believers behaving as if there's no war that cautions them. You get the point? Yeah? You start behaving as though there is no wall that puts a check in place. So what's the thing that should put a check for us? It's the wall of love. No, you can't have a question. It's a teaching meeting. Eh? So there's a question session at the end. Right? Or we can talk afterwards. Right? No, you can't have a question. You have a question. I agree. Yeah, but we can't give room for questions. If everybody has a question, I'll not teach. Right? So here's the point. The moment you see yourself as free, having liberty, in Christ, you must realize that there is a jurisdiction. So there are things I should not see you doing in this room. And if you are doing it in this room, it's because you think you are in the field. And if you are doing it, there are even some things that... So there are some things your friends will do, you cannot do. Not because they can teach you from the Bible that it is not wrong. But the question is not, is it wrong or is it right? It is, what will the love of God allow? So I'll close with this. I'll give an example. I started today's teaching by saying, if you saw me in the club last night, dancing and breathing slow, and you see a lady, let's even do a different one. I sit down on a chair and there are five ladies around me, not looking godly. All together. What will you do? Pastore, pasto pasti. You screenshot. I see evidence. Check them. Right? Do you understand that? Do you understand that there are lots of people on your WhatsApp that are doing a lot of things right now? But the moment I do it, you didn't take a screenshot of it. But the moment you just see Joshua Yusuf, or Spark, and you just see anything around Spark around it, what do you do? Just Spark the page. You just grab it. You keep it for evidence. What are you waiting for? The day Joshua will come and shout and say, there are believers, there are things you don't do. What they say, ah, pastor. Now, what should regulate my actions? Love. So why will I not be? So if a Christian is asking, can I go to the club? What's the better question that can help them? How would I feel if I saw my pastor in the club? Or what will Jesus do? Or what will love do? How will you feel if the person that died for your sins was in the club with three women? Say, don't worry, salvation is next week. Salvation is next week. Don't worry. We're going to still shed our blood for you, man. How would you feel? So why do we think that Jesus shouldn't do it, but we can do it? All together. So what's the boundary that you should always have to regulate your life? What will love do? You have an opportunity to add a zero to a document on your paper. Something costs £1,000. You want to put it, you say zero is an insignificant number. So you don't now put the zero that is now before the one. You put it at the back. They now put GBP, both front and back, so that they will not mix it up. The question is, what will Jesus do? If you help your pastor change figure in his table, what will you say? Well, you know, I wish all people would say was, are we not all men? After all, he's a man before him. After all, he's been shouting. No wonder he used to shout. A man of God is a man before he becomes a man of God. You don't say that, though. It is our pastor. Yeah? You know, unfortunately, you know how terrible you will feel if after you saw me do something terrible, you saw me started explaining it. You know, truth was, I actually got there to go preach to people, right? And as I was preaching, they began to preach back. they prayed more than I prayed for them. My heart was more receptive. So I heard, how would you feel? Paul says, brethren, you have been called unto what? Liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion for the flesh. But by love what? Are we here? But by love what? Are you there? You say yes. So by love, serve one another. Let's read 14 together. 1, 2, 3, go. The law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. So how do you know the law to obey, the law not to obey? How does it fit into thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself? So keep listing out some things that are bad for you. So number one, lying. Why should I not lie to you? Because I love you. Number two, why should I not steal your property? Because I love you. Number three, fornication. Why should I not fornicate? No, because I love the person I'm supposed to fornicate with now. Isn't that correct? If I love you and you love me, what will happen? We will not do anything now. Okay, so fornication is I love you. I love you enough not to defile you before marriage. What is adultery? I love my wife enough not to let her go through pain in marriage. So in adultery, you love two people, your wife and the fornicatee. Yeah? The fornicatee is the one that fornicates with the fornicator. Okay. Another one? Hatred. Why will I not hate you? Clearly. Because thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou hast been loved. Another one? Strife. Why will I not have strife? Because thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou hast been loved. Another one? Murderous. Killing. Right? Why should I not kill? Because I love you. If I claim I don't love you, at least I should love the people who are associated with you. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your partners. Yeah? Next one. Envy. Why should I not be envious? Because I love you. So love regulates my actions. Love regulates my actions and my inactions. So I want you to step out today and always ask yourself a question before you do anything. What will the love of God do? Why should I not dress naked? Yeah. Tell me. Why should I not dress naked? Because I love what? Other people enough. You know, I'll give you an example. When some people will say, but Pastor, what should we wear? You know, have you not seen? Someone asked me a question, very interesting question, but you can tell where the heart is. He said, okay, Pastor, if my wife is selling lingeries, how will she promote? You know what lingeries are? Underwears. How will she promote it? I almost wanted to slap the Because for you to think of that kind of question, you've talked of my wife in those kind of nonsense. Do you understand? I see some believers want to explain everything away. So, Pastor, if I'm swimming trunk, is that what it's called? Swim trunks, in swimming suit, swimming pants. Eh? So what should I wear to the beach? Are you trying to say? You know, as a lady, if we are walking, listen to me carefully, as a lady, if we are walking, and a brother took a video behind you, I was videoing you. Listen, you dressed as you came to church on Sunday, and you found out, you will not as much be irritated and disgusted like when you find out if you were at the beach wearing your swim trunk. Do you get what I'm trying to say? If a lady is walking there in front of you and she's wearing a swim trunk and you carry your phone, what shall I render? And the person is just, who is singing, what shall I render? And he sees you with camera in front of them with light. What would they do? They will even report you to law court and say you are, what does the name they call it? Eh? Harassment, yes. But you know, ideally, that would not be the same case if that was not what the person was wearing. I'm trying to make you see that it's clearly there is something wrong with it. There is no part of Christianity that tolerates and says that, no, there is not a single part that says that, no. Like I always tell you, you go to the beach, I said this in church last week Sunday, you go to the beach, right? You wear a cloth, pants and bra. Is that correct? You say, Pastor, yeah, I want this, I want to be sun-kissed. Is that how you call it? I want the sun to touch me. And you came to my house and you were in a room and I did not know you were in the room. My wife gave you a room to dress up. And I walked into the room with that exact thing you were wearing. What will you do? You will cover yourself. I want to run away. Is that not correct? Is that not correct? But you see people, that thing that they covered in the room, they think about how the devil has brainwashed us. It is okay to cover it in the private, but it's okay to show it in the public. It is okay to cover your body in the private. Reverse psychology, but it's okay to show it in the public. Okay? So people will say, but Pastor, thank God I used to wear swimming trunk. I used to wear Baba Riga to the ocean. What do you call Baba Riga? Oversized clothes. But what of the gala nights? What do you call gala nights? Award night. They want to give award for the most outstanding performer of the year. What do you do? Yeah? Do you not put my... Tell us what you are wearing. I was wearing Jeremiah Brandy with my shoes from this one, Tommy Hill. Yeah? What do you eventually see? You see a lot of things that your eyes... And that's why I don't like going for this kind of events. I'm in a life right now, in a world right now where... sometimes I'll bring my wife like this. So my wife is very naughty. I'm naughty. So I just be my way like this, and I clearly see that there's rubbish in front of me. I just be looking like this. And sometimes they want to come, I will turn my face at least. And she knows that's not what I'm doing. I'm cheating myself. Right? Sometimes you have to just be looking at your phone. There's nothing in your phone. Nobody's calling you. You're not chatting with anybody. You'll be setting an alarm that you've set before. You will set the alarm again and cancel the previous one so you can set it again just because you want to shield yourself from something. And I always ask a question. Just think about the part of a body of a lady who is exposed at the gala night. Imagine you had a help in your house that was trying to help you because you just gave birth to a child. And you're traveling for a WHO conference in Singapore. Not Singapore, Singapore. And as you're about to step out of the house, you just see the lady who is supposed to nanny your baby come out with that part of your body exposed. And the lady is starting with that. See you, ma, in 4 weeks. See you, ma, in 4 weeks. No matter how much you trust your husband, what will you say? Go and change that cloth. Is that correct? You will not tell them. See, okay. Sister Vim says, you are fired. Think about it though. Now, I believe that the husband she has, as a wife, if you're going to trust men in this world, the first person you trust as the most is your husband. Do you understand? Such that if they say your husband and someone did something to somebody, you first know that, I doubt my husband. I believe it can be this person, no? So you trust your husband so much and so well, yet you allow a lady to lose her job. Yeah? What do you do? You say, and don't worry, I'll make sure, and the lady just tells you, I say, I'll make sure I take care of Oga for you, and there's food in the freezer. Yeah, and what Oga going to eat this evening? You should now be saying plantain and boiled egg, and you know, saying before you respond, say, is it I that is paining me, Abby? What's that? What do you do? You send them packing. But think about it, the same lady who sent the house packing because they didn't trust what can happen between the eyes of the husband and that lady in the house for 4 weeks when she travels is the same lady who wears exactly that same clothes and comes out to the public and says, men, close your eyes. You see, we are deceiving ourselves. Men, close your eyes. Yeah, it's not about that. My body. Your body is the temple. Your body is not your body. My body, your eyes, your eyes. Mm-mm. Your body is what? God's temple. Okay, now what have I said? Have I said you're not going to make heaven if you dress naked? So if you feel guilty when I say this thing, what's happening? There's a pricking. Okay? Sometimes some of us, we will stay in front of the mirror. And before we go out, we must first draw the clothes down. Where? It's not showing well. You now do like this. You know, I wish some of those things were left. Some of you, our clothes have button to the neck. You must drop it down to you. And same thing for men. I always tell you, why are you going to the gym as a man without shirts? Why are you removing your shirt, brother? Hey? You now wear one shirt that's like this, and you don't have shirts. You're not. What are you doing? What? come here, brother. What are you carrying? Two reps. That is. That was it for, please. Wear your clothes. Do you know why I say these things the way we say? One day I was preaching in church. One day I've always shared this example. And I just realized one brother, everything I just say will jump up. I will just preach small, it will jump up. I was wondering, what's that? He's in Abuja church. Until I found out every time he jumped up, his eye was like this. A lady was in front of him, and the cleavage was all out in the church. So people don't even know how to even draw the line. You now see people coming to church to, Pastor, I want to be in that sister's believers meeting. Pastor, she edifies me. Pastor, you will not understand. She edifies me. Why? Because they are looking for a pastor to say, glory! What pastor just say, glory? Their eyes seen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why am I being as... These things happen in the church. Oh. Not outside. Are we together? That reminds me of a comedian who was talking about an example of a lady who came to church and started opening leg in front of a pastor. And the pastor just switched his message to Moses saw the land. And he just said, and Moses came. And he came and he saw. Who was he trying to look? Under the skirt of the lady. Before they just realized one pastor will preach quickly and go back to that place and say, so. Yeah? Now, these things are not only meant for the local church. It's meant for everywhere. Say, I from today will by love serve another. I will not be selfish in my actions, my inactions, and my decisions. I will stay serving by love. I will not want and make my way to be enforced, even if it's out of love. I would allow the love of God to lead my heart. Look at someone talk about the things they learned today.